This is Orion Rising. I am your host, Leonard O'Neill. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good morrow, depending on where in the world you are tuning into this show. Okay, guys, Friday night, Law of One. Omar will be back next week. I thought he was going to be back this week, but he couldn't make it. He did just move into his new place, and he's trying to unpack and unwind. So we talked a little while ago, and he was going to be here for recording for this week, and it just turned out that he had to push it back later. And I said, you know, he said, how about we just do it next week? And I said, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's just do that, bro. Because that way he's still trying to get situated. So this gives him another whole week to get that figured out, and then we'll set a schedule. But Omar will be back as my co-host. He's been gone for the whole summer. He had he usually takes the summer off, like I said, anyway, to be with his kids, but he had to move the building that he was in. The government owned it. It was this big, like, they're going to be using his dorms now. The government sold it to a college, and the college is going to use it for dorms. So all the people that were in that entire thing, the government said, you guys got to get out. So he had to up and move, and I haven't gotten all the details. Like I said, I haven't had a chance to get all of the details. I know he's in a new place. I don't know if it's in the same town. Or what? So we'll probably go over that on the show next week, or probably just prior, before we're on air. Anyway, but he's going to be back as co-host, so that's good. He's looking forward to it. He's missed being on here to talk and take questions. Okay, so we're on session 55. I put in the description, because I always do that spiel all the time. Well, I guess I have to for the podcast. No, I'll put it in the description there, too. So you guys will read in the description like I'd put every time, so that way I don't waste that extra 10, 15 minutes talking about the Law of One in the background. Okay? So let's just go ahead and jump right into it. Well, I guess I could turn my camera on for a second so you guys can see me. There's my ugly mug right there. For those of you who are watching the vidcast, you got the video show playing, so you can see me there. Those of you on the podcast, you got nothing anyway, right? Okay, so if you didn't catch my show on Monday or on Wednesday, you should take a look at that because it's kind of important. I talk about energy and our perceptions and predispositions and preceptions, right? Concepts and stereotypes that we have in our mind that we apply to everyone and people around us. And also why it is that you'll see that if you watch my Wednesday show, especially Monday, because I was a lot more aggressive, a lot more violent, a lot more cussing, and then even on Wednesday I did that a couple of times, and I was explaining that about that and why I do that, and that has to do with vibration, what level it would, you know, in this octave that I'm shooting for, and I'm at this point in session 55, I'm shooting for a broad range of vibrations. So I'm drawing in some of you who are already way up here awake, and then some of you are all down here, and some of you all in between. So I'm speaking to everybody. I'm trying to speak to everybody where they're at. You see, so that's, you can hear more about that on my Wednesday show if you guys missed it. Okay, so the Law of One on this monitor, I always tell you guys that you can go here and do this as well, and I know there's at least two other guys out there that are doing the Law of One now. Both first names Aaron Dowdy, and the other guy, I didn't catch his last name, but I did catch his very first show he did. I think it was back in June now. I've been doing this since November of 2018 on the Law of One, and he did his session one and explained everything very well and had graphics and stuff. So you guys might want to take a look at that. I don't know his last name. I'll find it again, and I will post it in the description, right? Or in the chat, or both. So those of you who are on podcast, I'll try and get it in the description. Because he's doing a really good job, too. I haven't seen any of his other episodes, but the first one was really cool. And he explains things, breaks it down for you. In fact, he breaks it down methodically better than I did, because I'm breaking down the actual show. He actually explained the entire concept of how everything works from the first density all the way through to the eighth. He does that in the first show, and it was only, I don't remember, it was less than an hour. I think it might have even been a 35-minute show or something like that. He did it very well. Good presentation. So for those of you who want to, brand new, or even have been listening to me, and you want the total overview breakdown of how things work from literally the beginning to the eighth, and we don't know what is past that, because they don't, even Ra didn't know it was past that, because the people that go up into the eighth, they just, that's the next octave. that's the lowest portion of the next octave, like one is here to us, right? And we're in the third, and so eight is the new octave. So they don't tell all of us in this octave what goes on there. And the entities who go there, they never come back. Very rare is there a wanderer from the eighth. Very rare. All of them are from below that. Most of them are from the fourth and fifth. Okay. So once they go there, they don't come back physically. You can channel them. Right? You can channel them and they will speak to you like Jesus has gone into the eighth and so is Muhammad. So you can channel them and they can talk through you or communicate to you, but they will not physically come back. Okay, so let's just go ahead and hop right into session 55. This was June 5th. Oh, I'm sorry. The website that you can go for, that you can read along with, I didn't finish that, I apologize, is lawofone.info, lawofone.info. And that has all the sessions there. It has even the first book, which is the introduction, and then all 106 sessions. You can read them, and it's a transcript of the actual audio file recording, and you can actually play the audio file recording, the actual recording of Carla and Don being the questioner, and Carla being the channeler. You can actually read those, that thing, and listen to it. I read along with that here, and then you will see on the screen, those of you who are just hearing the podcast, you just hear the computer talking. But Muffy Moose is a group on Facebook, that on their Facebook channel. They have taken the books and put them to, print to speak. I have a couple of those apps where you can do that, and I do that for Oli on Mondays when I have Oli's material. I have the computer speak the questions and answers. So that's what you'll hear for Raw, and the Law of One will be Muffy Moose's LL Research approved material that will be playing. And sometimes I point out discrepancies, you know, because I'm a nerd, and when there's a change, if there's like a whole question that's left out, I hammer that. And if there's wording that's different, it's just grammatical, that they change things. Okay, so that's that. So I'm going to go ahead and switch over here to the other camera where that is. We'll go full screen over there, and we'll just go right on ahead and start with the Law of One, Session 55, which took place June 5th of 1981. So here we go.
I am Ra. I greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. I communicate now. Question 55.1. Questioner, I would first like to ask as to the condition of the instrument, please. Answer, I am Ra. This instrument is experiencing physical distortions toward weakness of the bodily complex occurring due to psychic attack. This instrument's vital energies have not been affected. However, due to the aid of those present in healing work, this instrument will apparently be subject to such weakness distortions due to incarnative processes which predispose the body complex towards weakness distortions.
See, so this is like the second or third session in a row. So it's been that she's under a psychic attack. Okay, I just want to point that out because, you know, that is a thing, guys, right? And we talked about that in earlier episodes, and there was times when she was under attack there, too. So you have to remember that the Orion Crusaders are, as well as people here that are the, you know, the powers that should not be, are actually trying to kill her, trying to stop her from getting this information. You know, so everybody says, oh, that's just a bunch of hooey, and, Ra's just a crock. But it's not, guys, okay? And you know, she's actually being... they're trying to do damage to her. And anybody like myself, any of you out there, if you wake up and start to realize you're a wanderer, or even if you wake up and realize something's going on and that your graduation, your harvest, quote unquote, that's what they call that, your graduation from the third density to the fourth is being stifled, they will actually try and keep you back asleep, like in the Matrix. They'll try to put you back into the Matrix and get you. They'll do things to distract you in your life, make your life miserable. Right? Have problems with your kids, wreck your car, lose your job, all these things that will all just hit all at the same time. And you're like, man, why is all this hitting all at once? Well, it's because they're hitting you on any and every level. Anything they can exploit to attack you, to get you to not think about this stuff and to plug back into the Matrix and do mundane things. and discourage you from actually doing anything that helps to raise the vibration. I see it happen around me all the time with people in this industry where they come and go. They're back and then they're gone for a while, and then they come back and they try to, then they keep going away for a while and then they come back. It's because that's what's happening to them. Real life is getting so overwhelming that they have to step back from doing this. But at least the good ones come back and they try to continue to raise the vibration. And even when they're not out here in the forefront, they're still trying to raise the vibration in their personal lives and just your being. I mean, look what we did with this hurricane, guys. Okay. Now, God forbid, there was a lot of people that are still missing in the Bahamas, and that's probably going to be horrific for them, but it's a probably 1/10 or 1/100 of the mayhem and pandemonium and loss of life that would have occurred if that would have tracked on any one of their computer models that had it go straight up the coast of Florida from the toe up and then all the way up into the Carolinas and completely going through Virginia all the way out to Maine. That would have been as a cat 5 and then or a cat 4, and as it is now, it's just it's a cat 2 and winding down. So there's going to be some damage on the east coast, of course, because of the storm surge, but it would nowhere near as bad as it would have been had that storm went the way it was. And that was due to all the will of the people making that not hit landfall. Okay, so psychic attack is a thing. Here we go.
Question 55.2. Questioner, is there any specific thing that we can do that you have already told us or otherwise to alleviate this psychic attack or to help the instrument the most? Answer, I am Ra. We scan this instrument and find its distortion towards appreciation of each entity and each entity's caring, as you may call it. This atmosphere, shall we say, offers the greatest contrast to the discomfort of such psychic attacks, being the reciprocal, that is, the atmosphere of psychic support. This each of you do is a subconscious function of true attitudinal, mental, emotional, and spiritual distortions towards this instrument. There is no magic greater than honest distortion toward love. Question 55.3. Questioner, thank you. I want to ask a couple questions about previous material that I didn't understand. I am hoping that this will clear up my understanding somewhat with respect to the mental configurations with which we have been dealing. In the session before last you stated, however, this is a risk for the Orion entities due to the frequency with which the harvestable negative planetary entities attempt to bid and order the Orion contact just as these entities bid planetary negative contacts. Can you explain the mechanisms that affect polarization and consciousness with respect to this statement? Answer, I am Ra. The negative polarization is greatly aided by the subjugation or enslavement of other selves. The potential between two negatively polarized entities is such that the entity which enslaves the other or bids the other gains in negative polarity. The entity so bidden or enslaved, in serving another self, will necessarily lose negative polarity, although it will gain a desire for further negative polarization. This desire will then tend to create opportunities to regain negative polarity. Question 50.
Okay, so by enslaving, not just physically, like, someone is your slave, but also, pardon me, also there's mental enslavery where people force their will on other people and the like. Now, literally what he was saying there is that just by doing that, so now, why did I stop there? Because people have asked questions like, people who rape people, and they do it more than once, and then they have, or they rape a stepdaughter or a daughter or, whatever, over and over and over. Why did they do that? This is why. They gain strength. They gain power from that. Okay, so it is literally like the whole light side, dark side of the force. And this is the truth, by doing good, it's the same. When you do good for other people and you're in service to others, you gain a higher vibration by doing it. It is almost like a, I hate to say it's like a drug, but it, but you get high. You get a high from it, but it's not a euphoric feeling. It's a I actually did something that helps someone feeling. And when you do something like that, you know it makes you feel good, and your vibration raises slightly, and so because of that, you then gain more energy. Okay, so the same thing happens on the other way around when you do something that is in some way negative like that towards somebody, like if whatever sexually deviant acts or just deviant acts towards someone, or physically manhandling someone, or the act of rape or sodomy or something like that, or just the berating of someone and controlling them. And then there's really subtle, ways of doing that as well, where you have that passive aggressive control. Okay. And then control through guilt. Anything that a person can do to keep a hold of you and keep their hooks in you in some way is a form of control that gives them power. Not just over you, but in the grand scheme of things. So the more nasty, evil things people do, the more power they have. But then if a person who they're doing that to is also a negative person, they lose some power. So this is what he says. It generates in them the need or want to do that to others themselves so that they can regain more power. So it becomes a vicious cycle. Do you see? Okay, here we go.
55.4. Questioner. Am I to understand then that just the fact that the third density entity calls or bids an Orion Crusader is a polarizing type of action that affects both entities? Answer, I am Ra. This is incorrect. The calling mechanism is not congruent in the slightest degree with the bidding mechanism. In the calling, the entity which calls is a suppliant neophyte asking for aid in negative understanding, if you may.
A suppliant neophyte would be a novice. He, again, Ra talks like a scientist, so that that would be somebody who's a novice calling for help or aid or guidance. Anyway, here we go.
May excuse this misnomer. The Orion response increases its negative polarity as it is disseminating the negative philosophy, thereby enslaving or bidding the entity calling. There are instances.
That's where we get that, do my bidding, right? That's what he's talking about. So literally, if you look up that word, bidding means to enslave or to do what I say to do or force you to do. So that would be what he was referring to earlier and just now when he said, or bidding, right? The enslaving or bidding. Okay, so here we go.
However, when the contact becomes contest, which is prototypical of negativity, in this contest, the caller will attempt not to ask for aid, but to demand results. Since the third density negatively oriented harvestable entity has at its disposal an incarnative experiential nexus, and since Orion Crusaders are, in a great extent, bound by the first distortion in order to progress, the Orion entity is vulnerable to such bidding if properly done. In this case, the third density entity becomes master and the Orion Crusader becomes entrapped and can be bid. This is rare. However, when it has occurred, the Orion entity or social memory complex involved has experienced loss of negative polarity in proportion to the strength of the bidding third density entity. Question 55.5. Questioner, you mentioned that this will work when the bidding is properly done. What did you mean by when the bidding is properly done? Answer, I am Ra. To properly bid is to be properly negative. The percentage of thought and behavior involving service to self must approach 99% in order for a third density negative entity to be properly configured for such a contest of bidding. Question 55.6. Questioner, what method of communication with the Orion entity would a bidder of this type use? Answer, I.
So you see there, now, so you hear these stories in history of people, right, that were, controlling demons and different things like that, right, through necromancy, controlling the dead. And people said, well, that's just not something. But now you see there's people that say that some people used demons to build some of these monuments around the world. Okay, so here is a case where he's telling that a third density, which is here, our reality on Earth, person could call to a higher, he said a fourth. So call to a fourth density negative Orion Federation or a Crusader entity and outbid them, basically, by being more evil and making them do their bidding. He just said that's possible. But they would have to be 99% evil to do it. Think about that. So that will shed the light on some of what was told in history or claimed, where people throughout history said that they were able to summon a demon and make it do their bidding.
I am Ra. The two most usual types of bidding are, 1, the use of perversions of sexual magic, 2, the use of perversions of ritual magic. In each case, the key to success.
Okay, here I point out again that we also hear these insiders and forever have been hearing about, on both sides, of sexual magic. Okay, and he's literally saying through the perversion of sexual magic that you would be able to summon something and into your presence and control it. Okay, so then you hear about the pagans, right? The Druids and the Wiccans and the Bohemians using sexual rites, sexual magic in history. I mean, today you hear about it too, but more so in antiquity. So maybe there is some credence to that after all, right? I'm not saying that. It's a rhetorical question. Of course there is.
Is the purity of the will of the bidder. The concentration upon victory over the servant must be nearly perfect. Question 55.7. Questioner, can you tell me, in the polarizations in consciousness, if there is any analogy with respect to what you just said in this type of contact with respect to what we are doing right now in communicating with Ra? Answer, I am Ra. There is no relationship between this type of contact and the bidding process. This contact may be characterized as one typical of the brothers and sisters of sorrow, wherein those receiving the contact have attempted to prepare for such contact by sacrificing extraneous, self-oriented distortions in order to be of service. The Ra social memory complex offers itself also as a function of its desire to serve. Both the caller and the contact are filled with gratitude at the opportunity of serving others.
So I wanted to point out that when he said the brothers and sisters of sorrow, that is the wanderers, those who have heard the call and wish to help. So the three of them, I think his name is Jim, he's the scribe, Carla and Don, we know by now, if you've read the books or listened to my show, that they are in fact wanderers. Okay. And we know now in 2019 that Ra had referred to some of the people from his or their hive mind complex, their race, their people have come down here as wanderers. And I know that Ra came from Orion originally. They said that in the early episodes. Okay. So I know that individuals could still possibly be from there, but I know that I am actually from there because I'm from Orion. Not sure if I'm from Ra's hive mind complex. Don't have those memories back yet, but I know that I am from Orion and I came here with, originally we thought we were only three and now we realize we're seven, but there's a whole army of us here. Okay. So I point that out because some people are still confused. Like when I first started with the show and they were saying, wait a minute, you're saying the Orion and you're talking about Ra and he's warning us about Orion. Well, he's warning you about the bad people from Orion. He's from Orion. They're Ra. That group is from Orion. Okay. there is a different coalition of service to self entities from Orion that came here to, because there was a war that was fought in the Belt of Orion between the service to others and service to self entities. And the service to self entities lost and were cast out of that region of the Orion constellation. But we followed them. We're not just kicking their butts out of our territories. We're kicking their butts out of every territory. They came here and did damage here, so we volunteered to come here to fight them once again and stop them here. A lot of you don't know that. Some of us do, because we're awake and we're revealing that more now, because we're remembering it more now than we did when 20 years ago. I knew that I was a wanderer, but I didn't know that stuff. And even more so because the Oracle is awake. I know, because I just talked to her last night. So that's being revealed even more so. And other people from other places are also revealing themselves now as wanderers as they wake up. And that's why I'm doing this, to help, to do my part to help wake up wanderers. And not just them, but anybody else that's indigenous to this planet. If they hear this and they take the call or hear the call and start to question and break their conditioning, then you too will start to wake up and realize what's going on and that you haven't been able to graduate. All right, here we go.
We may note that this in no way presupposes that either the callers or those of our group in any way approach a perfection or purity such as was described in the bidding process. The calling group may have many distortions and the working with much catalyst, as may those of Ra. The overriding desire to serve others, bonded with the unique harmonics of this group's vibratory complexes, gives us the opportunity to serve as one channel for the one infinite creator. Things come not to those positively oriented, but through such beings.
So, basically what he just said right there is that, and by no means would any of us claim to be that holy or that good, to be at a 99% rate of good, that all of us or most of us are pretty much, you know, evenly across the board still working on ourselves as well. So we're, you know, so we would be a lot lower percentage. It's harder for the in service to self people to entities to, you know, be in the 80 and 90 and range. That's almost unachievable at this level. Okay, and even us wanderers who came back from the 4th or the 5th or the 6th, we're just, you know, really learning as well there, because, you know, you might be able to achieve, I don't know, I mean, maybe the most holy person at this level might be able to achieve maybe 60 or 70%, but that would be insane in and of itself. Just being 60% is what, you know, like Jesus, you know what I mean? I don't know for certain, you know, I don't know that there's anybody out there that could look at somebody and go, oh, you're 40% and you're 20 and you're 18 to the good. You know, I just don't know how to calculate that, because I don't have that memory. And that stuff gets revealed to you as you move up anyways. Not just here, but you know, other places. I apologize for getting that. That was a Facebook something, a notification. You'll hear them periodically. Because I have to have Chrome open to play that YouTube channel that you're looking at. Because of that, I have to I get the notifications. All right, so it knocked me out of full screen into my studio. So let me get back here so I can play it. So I just wanted to point that out. That's basically what he said. They took a whole paragraph and said it like Sheldon, right? But that's what it meant. We're not perfect, and we're still a work in progress. And Ra admitted that openly, that they came here and that they tried to help us, and that the information that they had given to this race, the human race here on the planet, was perverted by the powers that should not be and used for evil. So they kind of gave them the knowledge that put them into the point where they could take the power that they did away from everybody and take your choice away and keep you retarded. So they're staying here to try and help, try and reverse that, right? So they're not perfect. Even in the fourth, going up, almost ready to go to the fifth, they made a mistake. Okay, do you see?
Question 55.8. Questioner: thank you. You have stated in an earlier session that, until transfers of energy of all types have been experienced and mastered to a great extent, there will be blockages in the blue and in the indigo radiations. Could you explain that more fully? Answer, I am Ra. At this space-time we have not covered the appropriate intermediate material. Please re-question at a more appropriate space-time nexus. Question 55.9. Questioner, I'm sort of hunting around here for an entry into some information. I may not be looking in a productive area. You had stated that, as we, Ra, had been aided by shapes such as the pyramid, so we could aid your people. These shapes have been mentioned many, many times, and you have also stated that the shapes themselves aren't of too much consequence. I see a relation between these shapes and the energies that we have been studying with respect to the body, and I would like to ask a few questions on the pyramids to see if we might get an entry into some of this understanding. You stated, you will find the intersection of the triangle which is at the first level on each of the four sides forms a diamond in a plane which is horizontal. Can you tell me what you meant by the word, intersection? Answer, I am Ra. Your mathematics and arithmetic have a paucity of configurative descriptions which we might use. Without intending to be obscure, we may note that the purpose of the shapes is to work with time-space portions of the mind-body-spirit complex. Therefore, the intersection is both space-time and time-space oriented and thus is expressed in three-dimensional geometry by two intersections which, when projected in both time-space and space-time, form one point. Question 55.10. Questioner, I have calculated this point to be 1/6 of the height of the triangle that forms the side of the pyramid. Is this correct? Answer, I am Ra. Your calculations are substantially correct and we are pleased at your perspicacity. Question 55.11.
That basically meant astuteness, you know, that he was able to grasp the concept and figure that out, and you know, that he actually had the wherewithal and the mind to actually do that. It's just one of those million-dollar words that Ra likes to use, right? But then again, that's why I'm here, right? I'm here because I understand this stuff, because I was going to be a nuclear physicist. I just got wise and decided not to help the government or anybody else, so I didn't go to work for them. I didn't do it at all. As a matter of fact, I just continued my research, and I don't write anything down so that it can't be stolen. It's all in my head. But I understand what he's saying, so I just thought I would point that out. That's why I'm doing the show, because I understand what Ra is saying 100% of the time, and what Don is saying when he asks, because he is a physicist and an astrologist. Okay, or astronomer, astrologer, both, I think. Anyway, and a physicist, so very, very, very smart man. All right, here we go.
Questioner, this would indicate to me that in the pyramids of Giza, the Queen's Chamber, as it is called, would be the chamber used for initiation. Is this correct? Answer, I am Ra. Again, you penetrate the outer teaching. The Queen's Chamber would not be appropriate or useful for healing work, as that work involves the use of energy in a more synergic configuration rather than the configuration of the centered being. Question 55.12. Questioner, then would the healing work be done in the King's Chamber? Answer, I am Ra. This is correct. We may note that such terminology is not our own. Question 55.13. Questioner, yes, I understand that. It is just that it is the common naming of the two chambers of the Great Pyramid. I don't know whether this line of questioning is going to take me to a better understanding of the energies, but until I have explored the concepts, there is nothing much that I can do but to ask a few questions. There is a chamber below the bottom level of the pyramid, down below ground, that appears to be roughly in line with the King's Chamber. What is that chamber? Answer, I am Ra. We may say that there is information to be gained from this line of querying. The chamber you request to be informed about is a resonating chamber. The bottom of such a structure, in order to cause the appropriate distortions for healing catalyst shall be open. Question 55.14. Questioner, the book, The Life Force of the Great Pyramid, has related the Ankh shape with a resonance in the pyramid. Is this a correct analysis? Answer, I am Ra. We have scanned your mind and find the phrase, working with crayons. This would be applicable. There is only one significance to these shapes such as the crux and zeta, that is the placing encoded form of mathematical relationships.
The crux and zeta is the onks, guys. That's the technical term for it. Again, million dollar words by Ra. Okay, so hold on. Continue and then I'll...
Question 55.15. Questioner, is the 76 degrees and 18 foot angle at the apex of the pyramid critical angle? Answer, I am Ra. For the healing work intended, this angle is appropriate. Question 55.16. Questioner, why does the king's chamber have the various small chambers above it? Answer.
Now, I just made a video that shows, because we talk about this in Ancient Aliens Worldwide quite a bit. I mean, especially the pyramids and all these angles and everything that we're talking about here. This is why I interject. I made a video for the group. We just turned 170,000 members, and so I made a video that's about 7 minutes, 7 minutes from 4 seconds or something like that, long, and it has music playing and pictures telling the story. And the reason I bring that up is because one of the screenshots that I used, one of the pictures that I used, was the crux and zeta, the you know, from Egypt, the ankh. And on the net is a picture. You can watch the video and you can see it, or you can go to Ancient Aliens Worldwide and find it, or you can probably Google it. And then next to it was Nikola Tesla's device that, and you should look at that, that he created, because he just talked about a harmonious resonance with the crux and zeta, the ankh, and what the possibility of the ankh meant, other than just a cross with a loop at the top. Okay. And you should look at that, because it does have a meaning, and it does generate power. Okay, and it is used for something. So if you don't know about that, you might want to look into that and go down that rabbit hole, because it goes along with what he's saying here. And that critical angle, 76 degrees, 18 feet angle, in the apex of the pyramid, that's critical for the healing work. Okay, so the pyramid itself, the structure of the pyramid itself, is designed to be that specific dimension because of what it was designed to do. Okay, now we know that what's his name? I can't remember his name right now. I apologize for that, because he just popped into my head. I've interviewed him a couple times. I'm trying to get him back on my show. The scientist over in Russia is building pyramids specifically to resonate at a certain frequency to do different things. And he's building them all over the planet right now. And they're proving that they can build shapes, right, structures. And now he's concentrating on the pyramids. And I'm going to stop there, because right here is where Ra talks about structures of other shapes. Okay? And so I want to stop here about that, because you can look that up, and I can't think of his name right now. I will, and if I think of it, I'll put it in the chat, okay? I apologize for that. It's Valerie... I think it's Yuvanov. Valerie, his first name is Valerie. I think it's Yuvanov. Look him up. I'll get the exact spelling and I'll put it in the chat later. All right.
I am Ra. This will be the last full query of this working. We must address this query more generally in order to explicate your specific question. The positioning of the entity to be healed is such that the life energies, if you will, are in a position to be briefly interrupted or intersected by light. This light then may, by the catalyst of the healer with the crystal, manipulate the aural forces, as you may call the various energy centers, in such a way that if the entity to be healed wills it so, corrections may take place. Then the entity is reprotected by its own, now less distorted, energy field and is able to go its way. The process by which this is done involves bringing the entity to be healed to an equilibrium. This involves temperature, barometric pressure, and the electrical charged atmosphere. The first two requirements are controlled by the system of chimneys.
Okay, so the key right there, there's some key things that are happening right here in what he's talking about. Okay, so here, okay, let's just go back a little bit where it says this light then may be the catalyst of the healer with the crystal manipulate, manipulate that, wait a minute, I'm losing my place, the aura forces, as you may call the various energy centers, in such a way that if the entity be healed, wills it so. Okay, so if the entity who is being healed wills it so, corrections may take place. So you channeling the energy that is being given to you to heal you, you can take that energy and you can then correct problems and heal yourself. And by doing that, there, let's continue where he says then the entity is reprotected by its own now less distorted energy field. So literally they send the energy field and it crosses, literally on purpose, crosses his energy field so that it may basically put it into a state of flux, a state of equilibrium, where that energy can now interfere. It interrupts his energy field and the energy can interfere with his body and go into his body. And he can take that if he wishes to and utilize that to make changes to make his body better and more efficient and more spiritually uplifting. And then it goes back to, it tunes up his body, and then his body goes back to being protected by its own energy. Now, the reason that Ra says the pyramid is no longer needed is because I can do this to you. I'm a Reiki master teacher, and I don't need the pyramid and its shape to do this. No one does anymore. And that's why when Don asked him at one point, should we finish the pyramid and turn it back on? He said, no, it's not needed anymore. Your people don't need it anymore. And the reason for that is that we have energy healing that we've manifested since then, that we're the conduit. We don't need the building to be the conduit anymore. We've evolved past that point of when Ra was here, whenever that was in the past. If it was 2,000 years ago, 10,000, 12,000, 150,000, a million, doesn't matter. We here on this planet have evolved, to where we have these abilities in and of themselves. And not just Reiki, there's other healing abilities out there that we channel energy and heal with it. So what he just described, I can literally do, and thousands, hundreds of thousands, I don't know how many Reiki masters there are on the planet. I wouldn't even wager a guess. And not just masters. If you're a Reiki 1 or a Reiki 2, you have that ability. You just don't have the high tuning of a master. And trust me, I didn't know how intense it was until I got my master teacher attunement. In fact, I haven't even gotten my teacher certificate. I've taken a year. Okay, my teacher wanted people to take 6 months. I've taken more than a year before turning in my workbook to her to get my teacher certificate. I have my master certificate, but then I have to get the master teacher. And I see why she did that, because she wanted people to take their time, and I get it. I thought, man, 6 months? Oh, man. But then I thought, well, I'm not going to be teaching it right now, or maybe not ever. Okay, it just came with the attunement that she had as a package. So I said, why not? I did. I had her redo. I had 27 years ago, I got my 1 and 2. So I decided to go through the course again and get reattuned, even though I had already had an attunement. It's like being baptized a second time. It's kind of redundant, but it's a refresher course for me, basically, right? So I went through the course and did 1 and 2 and then did 3. And, and the attunement's there. I am a Reiki master teacher. I just don't have the certificate, the license that says I'm a teacher, that I can teach. So I'm not charging people money in teaching anyways. I mean, I'll charge you money to do an attunement, but not to actually, we call it an attunement for a session, but to actually, tune you as a Reiki 1 or a Reiki 2, I don't do that. I mean, never. I might, but I just don't do that. Just, it's not hard. It's just something that I'm doing this. Okay, so we can do that now. That's why he says, and he doesn't say it in this session. He says it earlier on, if you guys remember. I don't know what session it was in back in the day. Earlier on, he said that. All right, so let's go ahead and continue here, because we're almost done with the 55 here.
Question 55.17. Questioner, Does this healing work by affecting the energy centers in such a way that they are unblocked so as to perfect the seven bodies that they generate and, therefore, bring the entity to be healed into proper balance? Answer, I am Ra. This entity tires. We must answer in brief and state simply that the distorted configuration of the energy centers is intended to be temporarily interrupted and the opportunity is then presented to the one to be healed to grasp the baton, to take the balanced route and to walk thence with the distortions towards disease of mind, body, and spirit greatly lessened.
The word there that he said, baton, was baton. To be healed, to grasp the baton, to take the balanced route and to walk, okay? So he was saying that, get that, where you pass the baton to the next person. So he's saying it's up to the person who's being healed to take up the baton and continue and use that energy to heal itself and move forward, right? Or raise its vibration.
The catalytic effect of the charged atmosphere and the crystal directed by the healer must be taken into consideration as integral portions of this process. For the bringing back of the entity to a configuration of conscious awareness would not be accomplished after the reorganization possibilities are offered without the healer's presence and directed will. Are there any brief queries before we leave this instrument? Question 55.18. Questioner, only is there anything that we can do to make the instrument more comfortable or to improve this contact? Answer, I am Ra. All is well. You are conscientious. I now leave this working. I am Ra. I leave you, my friends, in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. Go forth, then, rejoicing in the power and in the peace of the one infinite creator. Adonai.
Okay, let me check the time here and see where we're at. Because when I'm in full screen there, I'm not in studio mode. I can't see the clock. So we got about 10 minutes left. Okay, so... So that last part right there, basically, you were saying that the person, nothing would happen if the person didn't take the baton and actually, you know, take up the mantle, basically, of the healing of themselves and put it in them. It's the same with Reiki. If I'm trying to Reiki you and you don't want it, right? I don't believe you can do that. I don't want to have any part of that. Then you're refusing my energy. The only way I can bypass that would be if I know that you actually need the healing because, you know, it's something is dangerous and that I can then apply a question to your higher self and see that if it's okay with the higher self to heal you, even though you in this particular place don't believe it or want it, but you need it to, you know, to unblock something or something that's dangerous that if you don't get it, it might be detrimental. So we can then do that if it doesn't break the law of confusion, then we can at that point override and, you know, have a from your higher self. But we don't do that very often, only in dire emergencies. And even then, we have to, you know, it may be that it's your time, and so we may be trying to heal you, and your higher self is going, no, it's my time. This is where so then we get overridden. We can't override and help. So the law of confusion, right? The law of one. Okay, so that was actually pretty intense if you think about it. So the most of that was about the pyramids and the function of the pyramid, right? So we'll pick up next week on session 56 and move on from there. So yeah, so the pyramid had many functions. You could go in there even if you weren't going to be healed. And they explain that in other sessions where it was designed for a multi-purpose use, where you could go to the reflecting place, which was the one underground. It was designed to have you, below the ground, surrounded by the earth, to be in total darkness and a cool place, a temperate place. And you would be there and you would be separated from reality. And the resonance there that he was referring to resonates at that frequency, which I don't remember the frequency number now. I apologize for that because normally I'm all the frequency numbers I'm throwing, telling you what they mean. But it resonates at that 100 and something. I think it's 110 or 114, which is the God resonance. That's the one that when they've done a study and they've changed the tone and had people close their eyes and explain how they felt when you go, how does this tone make you feel? How does that tone make you feel? Or, in your mind, to think about this and write down afterwards, we'll have you write down each one, this tone. Okay, that's tone number one. Now, this tone, and then this tone. And every time they had a person hit with what they call the God tone vibration, you would have a more spiritual feeling. When that happens, you would literally feel like you were floating and that you were about to come out of your body, and that you were an independent soul of energy. You felt that, and you started to feel a connection with the one. That's why they call that the God resonance. Okay, so that resonance is the frequency that would be in that chamber. You would experience that. That's why when people go into the pyramid to this day, it's not turned on like it was before, but it's still that way. When you go into these rooms, you can feel a different vibration. Now, I haven't done this personally, but I know people who have, and I've spoken to them, who have gone in there to these different chambers, okay? And you also talked about the chimneys. Did you hear that, guys? So pretty much everything in the pyramid, the chutes and valleys and chimneys and everything, where people are going, well, there's this looks like chimneys, this outpour of, what is that, for air to come in or something to go out? Those were set up to bring in a certain vibration, a certain airflow, a certain temperature control. And the entire thing was set up to resonate differently in different places to do multiple different things. For you to go into and physically go in there and help you spiritually to raise your awareness, or to be healed, right, on another level, or to be the healer on another level. And yet still above the pyramid, just like our chakra points, above the pyramid was another energy that is not turned on that particular, because the capstone's missing. Otherwise, there would be the energy there, and that's also another image that I used in that video that I'm referring to, that shows a spaceship hovering above the image that we use for my Ancient Aliens Worldwide wallpaper anyways. But there was another one that I used for the video where there's a spaceship above it, and you see a portal opening in the sky above the spaceship, because according to what Ra said, is that was also part of what it would do, and a portal opened up like a stargate, and you were able to go through that. And then they further talked about the Bermuda Triangle and the Dragon Triangle, and that was when Ra said that there's pyramids down there under the water and they're still activated. I also have a picture of a step pyramid under the ocean where somebody scuba dived down and took a picture of it, and it's hundreds of feet below the ocean. Okay, because our water level, our sea level, is like almost, I think they say like 5 miles, not quite, I don't think it's that, but it's hundreds and hundreds, 500 to 1,000 feet higher now than it was 1,000 years ago. So people are saying, oh, the ice caps are melting, and that's been happening slowly for about 1,200 years, possibly longer than that. So it's a cycle that happens, because 10,000 years ago is when the water started, when the ice started to melt, so the water started to rise. Sea level started rising after 10,000 years ago. So before that, the sea level was way lower because all the water was frozen in the north and the south. The ice age actually had the ice cap from the north. I'm in California, in Sacramento. We would have been in snow. Most of the United States of America was under ice. Almost all of it. That means that all of Asia and Europe too. So that means that it was just all of the landmass that would be in the center. But wait, the ocean level was so much lower. That was back when Lyra, I think that's what they called it. That was back when out here in the Pacific Ocean, if you listen to the islanders, they say that all those tips of the islands that are there now, Tonga, Fiji, Hawaii, the Easter Island, those were the peaks of the mountains that you used to be able to walk across that land. There was rivers and lakes, but it wasn't a big giant ocean. So when the oceans rose, all of the stuff is under the water down there. Okay, and they said, oh, that's a crock, and that's not real, and that's not true, but wait. When they said that there was a city that the gods over in India lived in, but its location was off the coast, Well, they said, well, that's, you know, there's no city, so, you know, that's a legend. It's just a book that they wrote that wasn't true. Guess what, guys? They went and found that city flooded under the ocean, like 50 feet or 500 feet below the seawater, below what is now sea level. Okay, and then over in Japan, I've seen the photos, they put that on the History Channel, of the pyramid there that they had found that is submerged underwater. So the sea level was a lot less because there was an ice age. So now everybody's saying the ice caps are melting. Oh my God, we're going to go into another ice age. Well, it's been happening for 10,000 years, guys. The water receded, the ice sheet receded, and it's been melting slowly over the last 10,000 years. It's a cycle that happens on this planet. Okay, it's not just, are we making it happen faster? That's a very good possibility. That is a very good possibility. I mean, come on, with all that smog and the ozone layer and all that stuff going on, the carbon in the air, you know, yeah, I'm sure we're making it happen faster. I am sure of that. I think we need to do something about that. But what you need to understand, when getting back to politics on that part, what you need to understand is that even if we change here in America, we're not responsible for like 90% of the pollution. We're not responsible for 90% of the plastic going in the ocean either. China, guys. China, Russia, Philippines, India, those people are putting more junk in the oceans than us. We're like 10%, but we need to do our part and set an example for the world. I agree with that. Okay, so don't think that I'm like anti-climate change, because I think that we do need to do something. Will we do something in time? I don't think so. I think we're going to end up not here anymore. We're going to end up in the fourth, and those of you who are still in the third are going to recycle off-world before we actually fix that. At least I'm shooting for that, because I'm shooting for ascension in 20 years. Less. I would love to see us ascend in 5, 2. Some say it's a couple hundred years more out. I'm not buying that. Some of us are not shooting for that. Some of us are shooting for a lot faster, because some of us are tired and we've been here a long time and we'd like to go back home too. You know how many people that I know are homesick? Every single wanderer that I know that is awake is homesick. That's how long we've been gone. Okay? We've been here for a long time fighting this and raising the vibration to where it is now. And if you don't think that it has happened, look back in time at how barbaric the people of this planet were, right? Go back 1,000 years. Go back 200 years. Go back 300. You'll see that they were like really like, you know, Neanderthals. 1,000 years ago, okay, and we've taken them and helped them, and you've done it, and everybody, all these ancient aliens who have come down to help raise the people that, oh, that didn't exist, there's no such thing as aliens, they were never here. I beg to differ. Okay, you're an alien, you just don't remember it, because we're all the same, we're all aliens, because none of us originate, well, some of you may have originated on this planet. So some of you are actually indigenous. Some of you that are here started your lifetime here, because this is just the first place that you're self-aware, the first place that you are thinking and moving, okay? So some of you that are here may actually be from here. I'm not. I did not start here. I started somewhere else. Graduated from this a long time ago. Long time ago. But I've come back to help, okay? And a lot of other people have. Millions. 160 million wanderers. That's a pretty good, I believe that's what, because if you look at the numbers that they said back then, and you compound them from 1981 until 2019, almost 2020 now, we're in September, the numbers, you know, would exponentially compound. That means that it would be, you know, like 100 times or 1,000 or almost 1,000,000 times, you know, how many are coming through. And we know that a lot of them are coming through. The star seeds, all of this stuff, you know, all these kids that are coming through that are just, oh my God, so fabulous, right? Okay, guys, we're on the hour mark. So, I mean, look at the talent shows on television, these young kids who are between 8 and 14, 8 and 15, just that group. They are so fabulously talented and doing things that faster, better, more talent than anything. It's just these people are coming through because they're wanderers, they're star seeds. Okay, All right, guys. So I guess I could turn the camera back on really quickly just so you can see my ugly mug for one last time. There I am. Namaste. Thank you, guys, for listening to the show. I love you guys all. I'm here for you. That's why I'm here, okay? And you wanderers, too. I love you for volunteering. You're sacrificing your life and the possibility of never waking up to do what you did. And that will never be forgotten by the universe and the one, okay? And so, guys, this has been Orion Rising. This will be aired on simultaneously, simulcasted on the vid cast for Facebook and on YouTube. And I will be in the chat, okay? And I will be in there to talk to you guys. And I think Omar might see. I think he said he might try to pop in. So shout out to Omar. He will be back next week, starting next week on Friday. He'll be back to co-host with me, and we'll be talking. But we're still going to stay to an hour, okay? We're still going to only do an hour because I think the shows are just too long. I think in the beginning they needed to be long because I was trying to get people to just get into the juiciness. And most of you now that are following me, you don't need me to be talking for 2 hours or 3 hours, okay? So that way we can really wring out a whole episode too, a whole session, right? I agree with that. And some of them we'll cut in half because they're going to be bigger and we won't be able to get through a whole session and we'll have to do a couple shows for it. So I changed the calendars to reflect that the show starts at 4 p.m. now, Pacific time. All my shows, Friday, Monday, and Wednesday, are 4 to 5 p.m. And I'll have a new calendar out because you can only put out a calendar up to, like, I could only do like a year and a couple of months or something on the calendar. So that's why the one that you see says that it's going to end in October or whatever. I'm going to put a new calendar up that's going to be the next year for the next sessions, okay? So look forward to that. They'll reflect that too at 4 p.m. start time. All right, guys. Also, I use Podbean for the podcast, so I pay them to pop that out to you guys wherever it is that you listen to podcast. Your podcast at Apple Podcast is still my top listener field around the world. So thank you guys for tuning in. I'm not going to rattle on. I'm already 3 minutes over, so I'm not going to rattle on about all the numbers and everything. I'll do that on my other shows of who, where, and what states, but I pay attention to that, and so I'll run that down on one of my shows that it's not crucial to have every second of the show. So, again, namaste, thank you, share this, like my channels, like my pages, hit the little subscribe buttons, hit the bells so you get the premieres when they premiere. I don't go live on the show anymore because I get shadow banned from Facebook. Every time I go live, they knock me off the air and kill the feed, and then when I film and I'm just talking and do like this, nothing happens because they don't know I'm doing it because I'm recording this on my hard drive as we speak. I'm not actually online except for on a different computer looking at it over here, and that computer you saw there over here, that's the monitor that you're seeing, that has that YouTube thing playing. So I don't get shadow banned, but they still mess with my signal on Facebook and knock people off. I was on there in the chat, and I got knocked off and had to re-log in, and I saw that everybody went down to zero. I logged back in, and all of a sudden, it popped back up to 25 people. Okay, so they're trying to disrupt that. So I apologize, and when that happens to you, just, you know, refresh. Sometimes you have to go back out, because if you're in full screen, sometimes you have to go back out and then reload it, and it'll start playing again. That's them doing that. That's not your signal, because it happens to everybody around the world all at once. We can't all be having a problem with our Wi-Fi all at the same time, can we? Sunspots or Facebook? All right, guys, I love you. Have a good night. Tune in next time for session 56.